Welcome to the Pastor's Porch, a place where pastors encourage one another, speak freely about the Word of God, and engage in real communal relationships with the body of Christ.
Hello, everyone. We want to welcome you to episode 13 of the Pastor's Porch. We are excited to bring you our final part, part three of our three-part series on Jezebel. Part one, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jezebel and Ahab in 1 and 2 Kings. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. Last week, we covered Jezebel and Thyatira in the book of Revelations, chapter 2. If you haven't listened to that, go listen to that. Both of those were very good. It set up this final week as we are talking about the spirit of Jezebel. And so we are taking things from part one and part two and tying it all in together of what we see in churches, in life today, what you would consider the spirit of Jezebel. I would venture to say that if you've heard that someone, you heard the statement, oh, someone's acting like a Jezebel or someone's this and that like a Jezebel, you have your own thoughts and ideologies about it. Well, today we're going to take scripture and let you know and show you what we see as evidences and tendencies and some of our own personal encounters of things that we've seen as the spirit of Jezebel. And Pastor Zach has said it before, but I'm going to open this up with reminding you, we talked about it on the previous podcast, is that a Jezebel spirit, their one goal is to disrupt the worship of God. And before we jump in this today, I want to also kind of talk about, when we think about a Jezebel, we think about it only in a woman.
Yeah.
A Jezebel spirit is not limited
right.
to only a woman. So I want you to think about that as we talk about these things today, is the spirit itself is not limited to a woman. It can be male or female. We understand that Jezebel was a prophetess. She was a woman. But the spirit of Jezebel can coincide with man or woman.
Sure. And when we talk about spirits in general, half the church just checks off because they don't like to talk about the deep things, you know. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. You are encompassed around by the presence of the Lord. And I want to encourage you that the spiritual realm is a very real realm. It's a very real thing. Discernment of spirits is a gift from the Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid of talking about these kinds of things, but rather become educated in the Word of God. And I think how we become educated is to look at the Word of God and to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the experiences in our life that connect with those or are led. I would tell you this, for sure, there are some attributes that stand out big time in the Jezebel spirit. There are several things that you just can't mistake for anything else. One of those being the hunger for power.
Yes.
The hunger for power that you see in a Jezebel spirit is kind of overwhelming. Can be. If especially in a mature Jezebel spirit, it can be very seductive. It can be very...
cunning and deceptive.
Yeah, very full of deceiving. It can be all of these things. And I would tell you, how do you recognize this? Some people are just genuinely nice. Some people have good tendencies and they want to do good things. But how you can always tell a Jezebel spirit is watch how they address, act, or treat authority, whether that be authority given by man to a leader or God's authority. Watch how they respond to God's authority. And when you see them respond to God's authority, you will see that a Jezebel spirit will always reveal themselves. Always. They can't help it. They're so full of pride. Just like Jezebel was so full of pride, she painted her face and got ready just to be thrown out a window. Because she knew Jehu was coming. And so pride is a very real part of a Jezebel spirit. I believe they're greedy. I believe that spirit is a very greedy spirit. And I believe it's very seductive. I believe that spirit hates authority. And what I have noticed is that when you were talking about how in Scripture we see it in a woman or a prophetess, but I would encourage you to remember what I'm fixing to tell you too, is every Jezebel will have an Ahab.
Correct.
Thyatira church was Ahab to the Jezebel spirit.
That's absolutely correct.
Ahab was there for Jezebel. The reprimand of the church of Thyatira was that they were acting like Ahab.
Yep.
They had this image and this idea of godliness, but they didn't put,
they sat back on their butts and cowered down and didn't call out these things. Which if you go listen to part one of this, we talked about that's exactly what Ahab did as Jezebel's husband.
Right. And so what I have learned in my short years here in ministry, however long this has been, I have found that Jezebels often don't operate without an Ahab partnered with them, allowing, pacifying, tolerating, and encouraging even in some instances. And so talk to us a little bit, T. We talked about power hungry. We talked about bloodthirsty. We talked about their hatred for authority. We talked about seduction. We talked about the Antichrist spirit that resides on the inside of them and the bloodthirsty, greedy. I mean, I got all these notes here and we see all of these. Talk to us a little bit about some tendencies of the Jezebel spirit.
Well, one, Jezebel spirit hates authority. You go study, like I said, Ahab. It's going to do anything it can to go against the authority.
Right.
Okay? And a lot of times what I have witnessed is that it will pay attention to those who, for lack of a better term, are in with authority, but mm-hmm. don't have mm-hmm. The authoritative figure. They basically friends of whoever is an authority.
Yeah.
And what they try to do is seduce mm-hmm. and be secretive about some of these things to getting them to believe mm-hmm. the Jezebel spirit so that they can overthrow mm-hmm. The authoritative figure. And if you don't believe me, go study what happened in 1 and 2 Kings.
Right.
And it was a representation of this. And so the Jezebel spirit is literally seeking to wreak destruction for anyone that winds up into its path and does it in a very secretive, destructive way.
Mm.
And one of the things that is most destructive in a Jezebel spirit, especially one that is a little bit more mature, is they're going to find ways to be 95% obedient.
Yeah.
But that 5% of disobedience is still disobedience.
Tell about that. Now,
that's and so cool. I'm going to give you an example that I've heard from another pastor speak. Maybe you've experienced some of this in your own life, and it's a way that you can tell and be in tune. And let me back that up a little bit farther before I get into that. And if you want to know if there's a Jezebel operating around you, you've got to be in prayer, and you've got to be in your word, mm-hmm. and you've got to be asking God for wisdom and knowledge. Okay. Yeah. And understand that we're not saying everybody that shows some of these tendencies is walking and operating in the Jezebel spirit.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So understand that. For saying somebody has a Jezebel spirit, that is a very, very big accusation.
Yeah.
We are not accusing individuals of these unless the Lord has told us. And even then, we're going to keep it to ourselves or talk with those who can handle it and pray for it. So understand that before we get into mm-hmm. all of this. Okay? Mm-hmm. But what this pastor said was he was in prayer time, and in his prayer time, the Lord told him that they, at their specific church, should have a prayer meeting once a month.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, guess what? That was from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we either have two options there. We obey or disobey. There's no other choice.
Right.
Okay? You either do it once a month, or if you don't, you're disobeying God.
Sure.
Okay? Which, obedience is a form of worship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, this is Brian's opinion, and I know you have very similar opinions, mm-hmm. obedience is one of the greatest forms of worship we can offer.
Sure.
Okay? And so the Lord came to this person and said, hey, I want you to meet once a month for prayer for your church. Okay? Awesome. So he brought it before the church, talked about it, went on for a little bit. Somebody approached him and said, hey, you know, what do you think about going every other month?
Mm-hmm.
I like us doing this, but what do you think about going every other month for prayer?
Mm-hmm.
And this particular pastor didn't really think about anything of it.
Right.
And this particular person was actually in leadership.
Yeah.
And they went to once every other month. And the Lord came back to this pastor and said, you're disobeying the commands that I have had for you.
Mm.
And to make a long story short, what this person realized is that this person that they even had in leadership was operating as a Jezebel spirit.
Yeah.
And to some of you who are listening to this, you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, there's a lot more to this story, obviously. But my whole point in this is to show you that this Jezebel spirit that was operating wanted to keep the prayer service happening.
Right.
Okay? Somebody needs to hear this. They wanted to keep the prayer service happening. They just wanted to do it in a way that was disobeying God just a little bit.
Mm.
Just a little bit. And so, as I have come into a counter and focused and saw some of Jezebel spirits in my own way, is they want to get in with the authority in a way that they do 95% of what the authority is asking, but that 5% is the most important part that they're not obeying. And I urge you, if you're a pastor or you're a leader in church, that you need to really evaluate and go into prayer for those that you have in positions. Because having a Jezebel spirit in a position of authority is detrimental to the church. Look at Thyatira. They tolerated Jezebel, and Jezebel was seducing people within the church. And so I'm not telling you that anybody that comes and says those things to you is operating out of a Jezebel spirit.
Yeah.
Please understand what I'm saying and don't misinterpret that those things. But you as an individual, and if you're a leader of a church, if you're a pastor listening to this, and if you're a leader of your home, you need to be aware and spiritually discern the things that come against authority. And so, Pastor Zach, I think you're looking for something, looking for a passage of scripture that goes along with this.
Well, I'm just thinking, I'm listening to you, I'm looking at my own experiences, I'm looking at scripture, and I would want to piggyback off something you said that I've been thinking on in my own life and things I've seen come to pass in the years as a pastor. And I'll say this plainly. I'm not afraid to say it. I just say it for what it is. You can take it or leave it. It's in the scripture. Jezebel, you said something about they want to be around them in authority, but not the authority.
Yep.
So Jezebel and Ahab weren't ever going to hang out with Elijah. It just wasn't going to happen.
Correct.
They just weren't going to be that close to him. But they had people like Obadiah go by him. And I would tell you this. The reality of the Jezebel spirit at work against God's authority in my own life. Sometime last year, the Holy Spirit plainly showed me that there would be Jezebel spirits try to overthrow me. And plainly told me that they were going to not come against me, but they were going to come to people who were for me and try to get those people to turn against me.
Correct.
And I received that word of the Lord back in the fall, and that is proven. It's happened. And so I know that is the Lord's word that's been confirmed. But it's just interesting to me when I see the tendencies of a Jezebel as a sneaky, sneaky thing. Truly yeah. is.
Yes.
Because most Jezebel spirits are not going to come to my face.
Nope, it's mostly behind closed doors.
It's going to be behind closed doors in this church as I sit in the position of authority under the Lord. They're not going to defy me to my face. That spirit is not going to work in front of me because they know that I'm going to cast it out. I'm going to call it out and then I'm going to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. But what it's going to try to do is it's going to try to deceive them close to me when they're not with me.
Correct.
And I'm just telling you, as somebody that's been around ministry long enough, that is a very, very real thing. I don't believe there's a demon in every bush, and I don't believe there's an evil spirit in every person.
Correct.
But that tendency right there is more common than people realize in the American church. And whether there's 4 people in the church or 4,000 people in the church, when there's a true work of God happening, there will always be an attempt of Satan to overthrow it. Satan doesn't have to overthrow churches that don't teach God's word. He doesn't care about them.
No.
They don't bother him.
Correct.
The churches that bother the enemy are the ones who present the word of God as what it is. The truth, the only truth, right? And the spirit of the living God pouring out and changing people's lives. Where that is happening, the enemy will always launch a counterattack. Yeah. And that, I have seen, has come in many forms.
Yes.
But one of the ways that I believe that the Jezebel spirit specifically goes about it is to undermine authority in a deceiving, seductive, behind closed doors.
Yep.
Don't tell the pastor, don't tell the authority in the church. They don't need to know about it. Just come do this. Just come touch this. Just come Correct. A little closer to this. It's all a plan of the enemy.
Yeah, and what we have to be aware of is, and we talked about it in part one and part two, is it wasn't Jezebel that suffered.
Right.
It was everybody around her. It was her children. It was her husband. Now, I know eventually, obviously, she was killed, but my point being is, and if you go listen to part one and part two of this, in 1 Kings, talks about her son being put to death before her. Right. And then in Revelation 2, it talks about her children being put to unto death, That's which right. that word children there is followers mm-hmm. of Jezebel. Mm-hmm. And so I have witnessed within this very church many, many years ago, a Jezebel spirit tear part of this congregation apart.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It wasn't that particular Jezebel spirit that suffered. It was everybody around her that
All right.
around that spirit that yep. that suffered because of it. Mm. And one thing that you got to be aware of too, and caution with the Jezebel spirit, is what they allow within their own homes.
Right.
What they allow around them. And I don't want to go into details, too many details, because a lot of what we experienced within this church many, many, many years ago has been dealt with, has been repented over, God has given us grace and mercy on it. But I witnessed firsthand some of those things that were allowed behind closed doors.
Right.
And what were okay. And to someone who may not have had the knowledge and the biblical upbringing I did, would have been so easily influenced and basically crippled
right.
in their walk with Christ.
Well, we've talked about this for, it seems like it's come up every episode. Let's let it come up again. What is the number one goal of the spirit? You know, when we talk about the spiritual realm, and when I say the spirit, I'm talking about evil spirits. I'm talking about not the spirit of God in this sense. Any spirit has one goal, and that is to destroy, disrupt, worship.
Yeah.
And I think we tend to forget that, because Paul writes over in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 11, when he says, you know, don't be surprised that Satan himself, you know, masqueraded as an angel of light.
Correct.
You know, read Ezekiel 28. Is it? I get them confused. Isaiah 14 or Ezekiel 28, and I get them confused going back and forth. But
Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, is, I think, is where it talks about.
But you know, and over in Ezekiel, you know, the king of Tyre and all these things. The job, the assignment, the reality of a spirit is that it wants to disrupt worship.
Correct.
Obedience. We talked about that. I can think of nothing greater the enemy would want to do in my life than to disrupt my obedience to God. I would venture to say that it would even be more beneficial to the kingdom of darkness if they could disrupt my worship rather than kill me. Because if they can disrupt my worship as someone who's blessed to pastor hundreds of people, if they could disrupt my worship, it would impact how many? If the enemy could disrupt your worship, pastor, I hope you hear me this, pastor, the enemy doesn't need to kill you. He just needs to disrupt your worship. He needs to disrupt your obedience. If he could just take your obedience and move it a little further down the track to where you're not willing to do the things of God, speak the things of God, stand for the word of God, that if the enemy could get you into a level of disobedience that disrupts your anointing and the calling on your life, then much more than killing you, which would have the other effect, people would rejoice in that you were in the Lord, if they can destroy your worship, destroy your ministry. How many pastors we see failing now? How many preachers, teachers, these TVs? And I mean, every time I turn on the television, there's another pastor of one of these churches that's in an affair or kicked his wife down the curb and married his secretary 20 years younger. I mean, these different, just wild things, right? If the devil can get to the head of the church, which in the earth is the pastor, we know it's Christ. We know Christ is the head of the church. But the symbol of that, the symbol of the shepherd, of the leader of the church, whether you want to call him bishop, overseer, pastor, shepherd, whatever title, if the enemy can get to them through a Jezebel spirit that seduces, that is fornication, that is disrupting worship, well, just in our own church, how many hundreds of people with that impact?
Yeah.
This is why I tell you to pray in the spirit. This is why I tell you to pray and be strong in faith and set boundaries and have healthy boundaries. And it's not to live afraid.
Correct.
It's to have knowledge. We don't fight against flesh and blood.
Correct.
We're war against principalities, powers, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, you know? And this is the importance of the armor of God.
Yes.
But all of it, there's so much here, and we could talk for hours. But the biggest thing to me is, if anyone or anything is engaged in distancing your worship of God, that needs to be removed from your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would even go on, yeah, absolutely, yes. I would go on to say, if anything is disrupting biblical order
right.
in your life.
Absolutely.
That it needs to be either removed, or there needs to be you need to pray about it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Like if it's something that can be changed and
sure.
just moved and
yeah.
prioritized a different way.
Right.
Yes, but if it's disrupting it in a way that needs to be removed, then it needs to be removed.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about that with the Church of Thyatira last week with Jezebel, is they were saying you're tolerating it instead of removing and rebuking her.
Right. Right. This is different.
Absolutely.
It's two completely different things. And I think there's a time, you know, let's take everything to scripture, right? You know, but I will caution you when dealing with the Jezebel spirit, the seven sons of Sceva, you know, they were beaten and thrown out of a house naked because the demon that was inside the man knew Paul and knew Jesus, but he did not know them. and they were not in Christ. And I will tell you this, as somebody that's dealt with demons, dealt with spirits, this is not something you take lightly. This is not a game. This is not a Ouija board. This is not you sitting with your friends and drawing a little circle on the ground or a pentagram and doing this kind of thing where kids like to go hunt ghosts or go look in the mirror and play these silly games they had when I was a kid. This is none of that. That if you're going to address spirits, demonic spirits, you had better be in tune with the Spirit of God.
Correct.
You'd better be in prayer and fasting. And you had better be ready to engage through the Spirit and speak the truth of the Word of God to the Spirit. Because if you go in there off of my faith, you can't go in there on my faith. You can't go in there on your mama's anointing. You had better be anointed of God when you start addressing spirits.
Correct.
And so the good news is, again, that's the anointing of Christ. It's not your own. It's not dependent on you, but it is on your relationship with Christ. You know, demons speak the name of Jesus and I speak the name of Jesus, but those two things aren't the same to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? And so when you say the name of Jesus, do you have the relationship to speak his name with boldness and with courage? Or do you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit? All of us should be subject to that.
Yeah. And I mean, one thing that we need to pay attention to in terms of talking with this Jezebel spirit too is you go read it, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, go read it, Revelation, right, is the secrecy of ripping apart the relationships with inside the church.
Right.
It's not going from outside in.
Right.
You know, kind of goes with Pergamum, the church of, to the letter of Pergamus when they were talking about you're allowing things from the inside out. Mm. That's the same with the Jezebel spirit, is we allow them to get so close that then it's a rip from the inside out. Mm. And so we're not telling you these things for you to be scared of or to be concerned with or to go around saying, well, they have a Jezebel spirit and they have a Jezebel spirit. No. That's not what we're telling you these things for. And we're cautioning you on these things so that you can take it to prayer and ask for discernment.
Yeah.
That is something that is, you have to be in tune with God's word and with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I would even, I would remind again, you gave a caution earlier. I would give this again. And I've had to learn this in my own life. Look, guilty, okay, raising my hand right now. Guilty, I was the first one. Be very careful about labeling somebody as having a spirit. You know, I think we throw these terms around kind of tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Because in our culture, we say, oh, that's a Jezebel, or oh, that's a Jezebel, you know. But when I actually started to understand whom the Jezebel spirit is, for me to say somebody has a Jezebel now, it would take exactly what the scripture calls discernment of spirits.
Correct.
Because used to, earlier in my ministry, maybe I was trying to show off, or maybe I was trying to be cool, or maybe I just thought I was doing right. I don't really know. But I would say things like, oh, that's a Jezebel spirit. Well, once you actually meet a Jezebel spirit, you will no longer just throw that label around. And so I caution you, please, you know, don't just call every person who disagrees with you a Jezebel. just because they don't get along with you, or just because they don't have a good thought of something you did, doesn't mean,
correct,
they have a spirit.
And some, right, people are just ignorant of the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, they can show tendencies,
right,
that line up with some of these spiritual things, and they just don't know. They don't know. But we caution you on this and tell you these things just to be aware of them. And I promise you, because it is Scripture, in 1 and 2 Kings and Revelation, someone actually operating a Jezebel spirit is very seductive, secretive, and looking to destroy.
And they can't help but reveal themselves.
And it will be revealed.
Jezebel had to make herself known not only to Ahab, to Elijah, to Jehu.
It was this prideful, arrogant thing of, look what I can do.
Just like the false teacher at Thyatira, she had to make herself known.
Yep.
If you're dealing with a true Jezebel, they will make themselves known.
Yeah, they will. And what Scripture has also been very prominent on is when you have a Jezebel, there will be an Ahab.
Right.
There will be an Ahab. We talked about it in 1st and 2nd Kings. We talked about it with the Church of Thyatira in Revelation, that they were just set back and cowered down to it. And so somebody that just may show tendencies, it doesn't necessarily mean they're Jezebel. It doesn't necessarily mean they're wrongful doing. I've met some people that I'm like paying attention to, and then I realize, you know what, they're ignorant of the Word of God. So then it becomes our responsibility to teach them the things of God.
Yeah. And watch, another one is they won't repent.
Very evident in Revelation. I mean, we talked about it last week. Revelation 2.
Yeah.
And I believe it was verse 21, 22. The Lord gave her a chance to repent and they didn't.
We all fall into snares, traps, you know, sins of omission, you know, and even a lot of sins of commission, right? But, you know, when I'm a jerk to my kids, that seems to be the common theme some days. Because of their age, I think, or mine. I don't know. One or two. but that seems to be where, like, oh, man, Lord, help me. I've got to go repent to them sometimes because I'm like, hey, man, I got a little bit upset with you for just no reason. Or, hey, man, usually my sons, hey, I shouldn't have said it like that. I should have said it a little nicer. And then, of course, I got to go talk to the Lord after that or before that, depending on how that day is gone. In that moment, but there's a heart in a child of God to not let things continue to bubble over.
Exactly.
And the tendency of the Jezebel spirit does not care that that's the case.
No, it's destruction in the path. Whatever's in front of them, they're destroying it. It's
like a tornado, man.
It's a whirlwind of things just being destroyed.
And it's every relationship. It's those close, those far. I mean, Naboth, I think about that. We talked about a few episodes ago. Just get caught up in it, man. He's just some guy living there next to the palace. And he's got this vineyard, probably some type of farmer, right? And he's just living life. And boom, that Jezebel and that Ahab spirit hit him. And it cost him his life.
Yeah.
You know? I think about those in the Church of Thyatira, you know? Not all of them probably went looking for that.
Correct.
But it cost some of them their life. But the Jezebel spirit is a very real spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's a damaging, destructive. I mean, go to Google and type in, I don't know what you call them, scandals. I don't know what you would call them. But just go look at the American church and watch how many leaders have fallen to seduction.
Oh,
by their own doing or someone else's. I'm not excusing their behavior.
Correct.
I'm not saying that they don't have fault or sin or, I mean, correct. Obviously those spirits came in somehow, right?
Correct.
But just go look. And you'll find that exactly what you said. There's a whirlwind of destruction that follows a Jezebel spirit and a lack of repentance and a lack of observance of God and his ways and his word. And remember what we talked about Ahab. What did the Bible say? It said that there was never a king before him that was as wicked as him.
Yep.
And then all the things that happened in his life, I believe, you know, ultimately cut his reign short and ended his family.
Yeah.
His son was killed in that field, remember, over at Naboth's house.
Yep.
And whether it's the spirit of Ahab or whether it's the spirit of Jezebel, I do, as we kind of wrap this up, I do want to remind everyone that every spirit is subject to the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And a true person in a true relationship with Jesus can speak authority by the name of Jesus.
Correct.
Over any spirit.
Absolutely.
Any situation.
Absolutely.
And I pray you don't have to encounter those moments, but when you do, just remember, every spirit is subject to Jesus.
Absolutely. And I'm going to conclude us just with a passage out of 1 Peter 5 in verse 8, because it's perfect for this occasion of how we handle these things. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour.
Look at that.
And so that's a warning. That is a declaration for us as Christ followers to be on guard, mm-hmm. to have the full armor of God, to be in prayer for these things. And so I just feel like we need to pray out this episode, and then we will conclude. And so, Lord, we just come to you today. Lord, this is a heavy topic. We know that speaking on this topic and being bold and proclaiming the scriptures and proclaiming your name against the Jezebel spirit, that there are going to be some attacks. Lord, there may even be some attacks on those who are listening and learning and wanting to know more about the things of God. And so, God, we just come to you and we're just asking that you protect us. We're asking that you just give us provision over this area, Lord. God, we just ask for wisdom over things that are coming about against us and things around us that are operating in the Jezebel and Ahab spirit, Lord. Mm-hmm. We just ask for a discerning of these spirits, Lord. God, let us not be quick to say someone has a Jezebel spirit or to stray away from somebody acting a certain way. But Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge and discernment of somebody if they're ignorant in the things of God or if they are being influenced by a spirit, Lord. And then give us boldness to call those things out. Give us boldness to go read scriptures and pray mm-hmm. over somebody that does not know the things of God. Mm-hmm. And give us boldness and courage to call out mm-hmm. the things that are not of you mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Because it's by your name that demons will flee and that they come to subject. And it's in your name, not our name, not anybody else's name, not by anybody else's authority, but it's by the authority of Jesus. And so, mm-hmm. Lord, we pray these things. Today, we thank you for this time in the Word, and we thank you for this time of just studying this out. Let us always, always, always seek you. Let us continue to grow in our relationship with you and grow in our Word and grow in the knowledge of what your Bible is teaching us, Lord. We thank you for this time today. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you for joining us today. We love you guys. And are appreciative of you, and stay tuned for more episodes on the Pastor's Porch.
Thanks for listening to the Pastor's Porch. If you don't have a church home, come join us at Unity Covenant Church in West Fork, Arkansas. We would love to have you. Thank you for your continual support to this podcast. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Have a great day, and God bless.